Lindsay, do you remember a long time ago I taught you how to do the tape recorder? Thanks. I forgot Jacob isn't here today. And I don't think I can yell loud enough for him to hear me in Disney World. While she's doing that, I'll tell you two things. One, anytime I hear scripture talking about beloved, it reminds me of the story of the small country church where there's a guy who was just fresh out of college and seminary, and it's his first church, and it was a small church. I mean, it was so small that when he'd say dearly beloved, the ladies in the front would blush. I mean, that's how small it was. And he was afraid. I mean, he was one of those who clutched onto the pulpit. And so one Sunday he was preaching from Revelation, and he was a little stuck. He's going, and he was starting the scripture, he says, "Behold, I come." And he couldn't remember, so he looked down and he goes, "Behold, I come." And he's hanging on to that pulpit for all he's worth. And finally, the third time, he says, "Behold, I come." And he pushes the pulpit off, and it lands in the front pew. And he's so apologetic. And he said, "No, you warned us three times." Yeah. Has absolutely nothing to do with the sermon. Just wanted to get some fill time to let her get that done. Okay. All right. I doubt it. How many of you have ever doubted anything? I'm not saying doubt God. Have you ever doubted whether or not Kentucky would win another basketball game this year? I'm beginning to doubt it. Have you doubted that Weatherman really got a degree in something? I mean, seriously, there's a lot of doubt going around in the world. How many of you remember Hagar the Horrible, the comic strip? I wish I could have found it. I just read it. I couldn't find the actual strip to show you. But it's one where he's kneeling in prayer and he says, "It's not easy to believe in you, God. We never see you. How come you never show yourself? How do we even know you exist?" And then in the next panel, we see a flower springing into life beside Hagar. And then a volcano erupting in the distance. An eclipse of the sun turning the sky black. A star shooting across the atmosphere. A tidal wave rushing over Hagar. Lightning flashing. A bush beginning to burn. A stone rolling away from the entrance to a tomb. And he pulls himself up from the mud, dripping wet, surrounded by darkness. It's, okay, I give up. Every time I bring up the subject, all we do is get interruptions. That's how some people treat faith and doubt. Well, is doubt good? Is doubt evil? Let me ask you this. Is a habit good or evil? It depends. Habits can be good and habits can be evil. You know, if you have a habit of brushing your teeth before you go to bed or eating healthy, that's a good habit. If you have a habit of, you know, burying dead bodies in your backyard, that's probably not a good habit. That's an evil habit. All right. Hopefully none of you do that. And if you do, we'll talk afterwards. Is doubt necessary? If we doubt, do we not have faith? Well, the problem is with doubt, when we talk about doubt, you pull out anybody here, some Christians, and start talking to them about doubt, we're going to get different answers. People are going to have different ways that they think that doubt is or isn't. So we need to kind of look at what the Bible says, because maybe that's the best way to look at it. Now, I'll admit that most of the time in the Bible, doubt is mostly negative, because it looks as you being weak or of non-believers. But doubt also has some positive things. We'll talk about them too. First thing we need to realize is doubt is not natural, but it's normal in our fallen world. If everything was pre-fall, we wouldn't have doubt. Why would we doubt when God would walk with us in the cool of the day? It's kind of hard to doubt someone who's right there beside you. "Oh, I don't believe in you. Quit. Get out of my... You're casting a shadow over me," you know? Obviously. But it's become natural in our fallen world, but it doesn't make it right. The The Bible knows that we're going to be dealing with doubters. How do I know? Because a couple of scriptures I read this week, one being there from Jude chapter 22 that says, be merciful to doubters. Be kind. Be merciful to those who doubt. Why do you think the Lord tells you that? Now, I think I know. Because I know how people tend to act sometimes. People tend to look down on people that don't agree with them or don't see things the exact same way they do. I mean, I have enough problems dealing with Steelers fans and Pirates fans. And that's a minor thing, you know. Y'all get it eventually, but that's okay. This side of heaven will not all be perfect. But he tells us to be merciful because if I come up to someone who doubts and says, well, if you doubt God, obviously there's something wrong with you. How much are we going to make an impact in their lives for good and for God? Okay, this is not a really tough question. If I come up to you, Louise, and treat you mean because you doubt God, am I going to have much of a chance to win you to God? Don't believe so. Yeah. I'm pretty sure that's true. If I come up and slap you upside the head, I don't expect to get a hug in return. That's what we're saying. And so if we're being mean, not being merciful to doubters, but treating them like there's something wrong with them because I don't believe, how are we ever going to win them to Christ? Or how are we going to ever let Christ be seen in us so that we don't have to win them? God's grace is there. How are they going to experience God's grace if we don't allow them to see it? If all we do is they look at us and go, if Jesus is like them, I don't want any part of it. Third thing we need to do is understand that we need to identify and question our doubt. There's times that are harder than others. Those of you that have lost a loved one, that can cause a time of doubt. Times of illness can be a time of doubt. But it also can be a time for our doubt to be turned into a stronger faith. Remember the story in Mark of the man who comes to Jesus and wants him to heal his son. And Jesus heals him, but what he says is, don't you believe? And he says, I believe. Help my unbelief. So even those of us who believe sometimes need a little booster. A little booster shot of belief. So I believe, help my unbelief. So how are we going to do that? One of the reasons we have problems with doubt is because we don't understand the truth. The Bible contains truth. If we believe what the Bible has to say and believe it's truth, then our doubt, the knowledge that we get from there, should help counteract our doubt. Because we'll see people in all stages of life. People that are healthy, people that are sick. People that are happy, people that are sad. People that are childless, people that have way too many kids. You know, I'm thinking of, you know, like all the ones that Abraham dealt with. Well, he only dealt with a couple, but that was one too many in his case. But anyway, what we're saying is, in the Bible, we can learn how to deal with situations that will arise. Does everything always turn out great for people in the Bible? This is not a tough question. And if it is, then the first part of what the doubt that you're dealing with is you need a little bit more reading on this thing. And I have this Bible in my office that if you read 12 pages a day in 90 days, you can read it all. So if you're interested, just let me know. I'll give you a copy. But just read it. We need to know it. Because when we know, knowledge helps us. Knowledge of the truth helps us deal with doubt. I'm not saying it's going to keep us from ever having any doubt. Because we live in a fallen world. People that we trust sometimes are going to cause us pain. And when they cause us pain, then when things change, then we may doubt whether they're being totally upfront with us. And we want to make sure that they are. One thing I can tell you, God never treats us that way. Also, a lack of knowledge of spiritual things. Because faith is about what God is doing in our lives. And what He's doing in my life, and what He's doing in Amy's life, and what He's doing in Rose's life. Not Rosella. Rose's life, but Rosella too. What He's doing in Michelle's life. What He's doing in each of our lives is different. Because we all have different things that we need. That's just a fact. Just even if you look at our homes, you'll see that there's different things that we need. Because our homes are different. I need more hot sauces in my house. Y'all probably don't. Y'all probably have one little tiny little jar of Tabasco and think that's enough for everything. I'm here to tell you it's not. But God in the spiritual things knows what each of us needs. And sometimes we just have to be open and honest and realize that we don't know as well as God does. And that's where the spiritual things come in. During the Holocaust, there was a Jewish family that was hidden in a wall by some French people. And at the end of the war, where they had been huddled into this little inner room, on the wall it said, these were scribbled on the wall, it says, "I believe in the sun even when it does not shine. I believe in love even when it is not given. I believe in God even when He is silent." Wow. Can you imagine? In the situation that they're in, they had every right to doubt. But they didn't. They said, even when God is silent, I believe in God. There will be times that we feel that God is silent in our lives. He's not necessarily being silent, but sometimes we have turned ourselves too far away to hear what He's saying. You know, I love the whole thing. You know, those of us that are old enough to remember bench seats in the front of a car, you know, where you'd be driving down the road and you knew when you had a couple that was in love because it looked like a driver had two heads. Well, there was a couple that was driving down the road and the wife looked at her husband and says, "Why don't you cuddle up to me like you used to?" And he's there at the steering wheel and looks over and says, "Well, who moved?" No. If God doesn't feel as close to you as He used to, guess what? God's not the one who moved. Alright. Don't give your doubt too much attention. Sometimes we get so caught up in, I doubt this and I doubt that and I can't explain this and I can't explain that. I've told you before, there are certain things that I will never be able to explain this side of heaven, and on the other side I won't care. How is God one and three? I don't know. Why did Jesus pray to Himself in the Garden of Gethsemane? I don't know. To teach us. It doesn't matter. Trust what the Word says and quit doubting it just because you don't always understand it. I don't understand how car engines work. I know, though, if I keep enough oil in and enough gas in and I turn the key and the battery's good, my car start and I can go places. I don't have to understand how the engine works. If you understand how it works, more power to you. But I can still get around not knowing a thing. There's things we're not going to understand. Don't allow that to say, well, I'm not driving a car until I understand how the motor works. If someone said that to you, you'd look at them like they were stupid, wouldn't you? You're like, what's wrong with you? Well, that's kind of the same thing as saying, well, until I understand everything in here, I can't believe in God the way I need to. Okay. You're in trouble. Because we'll never get it all. Pray and meditate on God's Word. That's the absolute best way to deal with doubt. Because I told you, His truth is contained here. David said in the Psalms, "Your Word have I hid in my heart that I won't sin against You." The idea... You know, Psalms also says, another psalm tells us, "Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, so I don't trip over things." God's word is vibrant and important, and if we know it, the more we know, the less we doubt. It's true. It's the case with the Bible. It's the case with relationships. It's the case with anything you want to deal with. Thomas was given a hard time for doubting. But, you know, the bottom line was he wasn't there. He was a week behind the times. He didn't get to see Jesus the first week. And when Jesus appears to him and says, go ahead and put your hands in, Thomas never does. He says, my Lord, my God. Peter gets a hard time when he steps out of the boat, because Jesus says, why are you sinking? Your faith has let you sink because your lack of faith. Well, there's 11 other guys who didn't get out of the boat. And we're calling Peter the doubter? Folks, we don't need to judge ourselves by Thomas, by Peter, by Louise, by Reed, by Bob, by Amy, by Dick. We need to judge ourselves simply by the Word of God. Let it interact with us and let God work with us. Work through our doubt. And then I think the whole point of what the title of my sermon out there is, if we begin to do what God wants us to do with faith, then when someone says, I don't think God can do that, you say, I doubt it. I doubt that you're right, because I know God can do that. Well, I don't think God can heal that. I doubt that, because I know God can heal. What are you going to do? Are you going to take what God has given you and use that to grow stronger and stronger in your faith? Or are you going to let little bumps in the road, whether it's a personality with the preacher who's like, man, you are not believe our preacher, or someone in the church, you would not believe how they looked at me. Well, maybe they were about to sneeze and that was their problem. You know, give them a break. God loves you guys. He doesn't want you to doubt that at all. Take that love. Roll that up into those things we talked about earlier. Understanding that we can become faithful people. More faithful. Just by doing what the Word says. And believing it. When someone doubts you, it's okay. Because your faith is not a question between you and me or anyone else. That's between you and God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for giving us the Word that can help us work through our doubt. We know that we all have times that we don't always get it. So, Father, help us rather than just saying, oh, I don't understand, so I give up. Help us all to continue to grow in faith as we grow through reading and studying your Word and sharing with those around us so that we can all grow stronger. Help us, Lord, to not look down on those who don't have the same faith that we have, but instead be merciful for those who doubt, showing your love to allow your grace to overwhelm them. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.